Okay. So we're going to be focusing today on Father's Day. You know, we had a special Mother's Day message, and I said on Mother's Day that you guys are getting your turn next. So today I'm making good on my promise. Okay, we're gonna be honoring fathers today. It's a time to set aside and just let our fathers know that we appreciate them, that we love them. We wouldn't be here without them. So my father is here today, sitting in the back row, but we're just glad to have you here, Dad. Thanks. And his wonderful friend Arlene, they come on Father's Day specifically to be with us. So we will be having some good times after we're done here. But you know, fathers play a critical part in our lives. They're not only in our lives, but in churches, in our society, in our families, and the Heavenly Father has given our earthly fathers a very special role in the families. He's put them at the head as the leader of the families. That's pretty important. So I think it's a good idea that we take time out to look at that. You know, because we have fathers in here. We have some people in here who are going to be fathers one day. And so it's important. What does God say about that role of a father? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Our fathers are, they're leaders, and they're responsible for teaching and training children in the ways of God. That's a primary role. They're the provider. They're the coach. They're the disciplinarian. They're the protector. They're the one that you run to when you need some help or money. You know, fathers are available. This is interesting. It's an interesting statistic. I'm talking about prior to cell phone use. I don't know if you could get this information now, but prior to cell phone use, Father's Day traditionally was recorded as the number one day for collect phone calls. For collect phone calls. Mother's Day was traditionally recorded as the day for the most number of phone calls. But Father's Day was noted as the number one day for collect calls. Now, young people are probably wondering, what's a collect call? What's a collect call? That's when the recipient pays the bill for the call. But I believe there's a simple explanation for that. And I believe our society back then and still now regards fathers as the providers, as the breadwinners, and not just for physical needs, but for spiritual needs as well. Okay, so today I'm going to look at what God says about the role of fathers in His Word. We're going to be looking today at several characteristics of a godly father. It's not going to be an exhaustive list. We don't have all that time today. I want to release you and let you go and enjoy your time with your fathers. But today we want to honor fathers. But while we're discussing these characteristics, bear in mind that these same characteristics are for God, our Heavenly Father. Okay? And actually, He is the best role model for fathers to emulate. And we, I think I may have said earlier that we're going to view these characteristics in the view of earthly fathers, but also spiritual fathers. There are spiritual fathers in here who they don't have biological children, but this applies to them as well. So if you remember back to Mother's Day, one thing that I remember saying is that I believe the most important characteristic is for a godly mother. Anyone remember what that is? It's going back a while for you to remember. It's one who reverences God and puts Him first. That is the same number one characteristic of a godly father. The same. Kathy, could you bring up our first scripture? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things will be added. Seek him first. God commands that of all of us. Mothers, fathers, and all everyone in between. Moses said this to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6. Kathy, could you go to that? 6 verses 1 and 2. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Kathy, could you drop down to verse 5? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Next slide, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Well, we can see in those scriptures that a godly father here is not only one who reveres God, but he spends time with his children. One of the first things this scripture suggests is that a father spend time with their children, not necessarily idle time, but time well spent, quality time, fun times, times of instruction. One of the greatest gifts that you can give your children, fathers, is your time. Your presence in their lives is more important than any gift you could buy them, you know, at Walmart or, you know, whatever, in any kind of a store. Studies have shown that school children whose fathers are actively involved in their lives in a good way, those children tend to do better academically, socially, athletically, more so as compared to students who don't have fathers involved with their lives. We recently had a death in Gary's side of the family. Godly man, a wonderful man, lived a beautiful, long life, has 3 children, and his 3 children continuously keep reminding, keep speaking how awesome their father was, how much they missed that father. You know, they said you could come to their father, who had other issues of his own going on, but whenever you'd come to him, he would drop everything and give you his time, and you would feel like you were the only person on the planet. That's a godly father. So not only do these scriptures talk about godly fathers, you know, giving time to their children, reverencing God, but it also talks about the responsibility that a father has to teach their children, you know, God's ways. If you saw in verse 7 there, it says, you shall teach them God's commands, his word, diligently to your children as you live. In your day-to-day, everyday life, when you sit in your house, you know, when you walk by the way, when you're lying down, when you're rising up, you're to teach your children about God. That's what Moses said, okay? But I want to look at the New Testament now and see what Paul has to say. Can we go to Ephesians 6:4? And you fathers, he's speaking to fathers, okay? Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's a command to fathers. You know, if you want to know what a father is supposed to do, we look at God's word. That word training there, Kathy, next slide. That word training is the word, pronounce this one, pahidia, okay? And that word means to tutor, it means to educate, it means training, it means disciplinary correction, it means chastening, it means to instruct and nurture. And let's look at the second word right away. That word for admonition is nuthesia. It means calling attention to by a mild rebuke or warning. Calling attention to. So fathers are to teach their children and their grandchildren. That's the role of a father, and that is super, super important in raising kids. Consider these statistics. I picked these up. Oh, these were so good. Studies have shown that children who grow up in a Christian home where the mother is the primary spiritual influence in their lives of the children, only 15% of those children remain faithful to God and to the church when they become adults. But, listen to the but, fathers, but the number increases dramatically to 75% when the father is the primary spiritual influence in the children's lives. That is powerful, papas. Powerful. There was another large study done. This was in the Swiss government. And this is, I'm going to give you these quotes. It is the religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance at or absence from church of the children. This is their summary of their whole article. If dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously. Powerful. Fathers, you're our spiritual leaders. You're the spiritual leaders. You're the role models for the children. Kathy, could you go to the next slide? Proverbs 4:1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Here again, fathers instruct and children listen. That's the order in the family. That's God's order. He's a God of order. Husbands, love your wives. You know, wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. So it may go well with you. So fathers, love their families. It's very important for fathers to take advantage of everyday situations because there are teaching lessons every single day. Whether you're a young father, older father, or, you know, wannabe. You know, remember that it's important to just be an example. By your example, by spending time with them, you can teach them, you know, how to make wise decisions, how to pray. God, which do I choose here, God? By your own example, you can teach your children how to treat others with love and respect. They watch you. They watch what you do. Teach them to be caring and compassionate towards others. By your example, teach your children to always speak the truth, to have integrity, to honor the words that they speak. And by your own example, teach your children that spiritual things are much more important than material things, earthly things. So fathers, you can be your child's best role model. Notice that those definitions that we looked at earlier for training and admonition, they involve discipline. They involve correction and chastening and mild rebuke. So discipline is part of the instruction. And it's part of the role of the father. Kathy, could you bring up Proverbs Do you have Proverbs 3? Yeah. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights." So God disciplines the ones he loves. And fathers are to do likewise. God places fathers in the home as leaders. And leadership requires responsibility. So fathers need to take that responsibility in the home as the leader. And, you know, in the absence of a father in a home, the mother bears that responsibility. They're next in line. Unfortunately, society has moved away from discipline, and the results have been disastrous. But that's totally against what God says in his word. This is word of life. We're looking at the word, okay, guys? I make no apologies for it, but you can come here to hear what I had to say. You come here to hear what God has to say. So, Kathy, could you pull up Proverbs 13:24? This is what God says. You know, God says, obey my word. Obey what I say. What's he saying? He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. God disciplines those he loves, and he instructs fathers to do the same. Kathy, our next scripture, Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Does it, guys? At the time, it doesn't. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Woo! Are your ears open, Eli?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the first three. Now you're just giving me so much.
Okay, let's go to Proverbs. The next one, Kathy, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Loving authority and loving leadership and discipline, not cruel and abusive, okay, or destructive. That loving discipline is needed in our homes. It's critical. Self-discipline has to be learned while we're children. Fathers and mothers can help our children develop that quality. You know, we don't always want to do the things that we should be doing. A person may not want to keep their spending within their means. They may not want to take out the trash. You know, they may not want to exercise regularly. You know, they may not want to control the amount of time that they spend on the internet, you know, or watching the news or video games or, you know, television. But when we discipline ourselves in those areas, we're blessed. It works. God's word works. And so we just want to exalt his word today. I heard a true story of a young man who he got himself into some trouble at school, and when the boy got home from school, you know, the father, Christian man, was going to discipline his son, okay? And so he took his son to the bedroom to exercise his normal discipline of 2 lashes with a belt, okay? And the father, this is what the father said to the boy. I'm using the name Justin. That's not his name, but I'm going to use the name Justin, okay? Justin, what you did at school today was very wrong. And the Bible tells me if I truly love you as my son, I must discipline you. But, Justin, I want to teach you a very valuable lesson about God's grace. This is a teachable moment. With that, the father took off his shirt and handed Justin the belt. he kneeled down next to his bed and he said, I'm going to take your lashes for you, Justin. The father said, Justin broke down and cried. He said, Daddy, I can't whip you. I'm the one that was wrong. You didn't do it. The father said, I know you did wrong, but I love you so much, I'm willing to take your punishment for you. Does that sound a lot like someone else we know? That father said from that day forward, he never had a lick of trouble out of Justin. Very teachable moment. Fathers love their children. And our Heavenly Father loves us. So where do our fathers and mothers get this wisdom that we need to be able to train up our children? Where do we get that wisdom? From the words of life, from God. King Solomon had been regarded as the wisest man who ever lived, at least in the earlier part of his reign. And as a young king, Solomon had a visit from God. Could you bring up 1 Kings 3:5, Kathy? Okay. So God asked Solomon, who's a young king, what shall I give you? What would you like me to give you, Solomon? What would you like? Now, he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for all kinds of wealth. He could have asked for long life. He had enemies. He could have asked for their heads on a platter. He didn't ask for that. He asked God for wisdom to be able to discern between right and wrong, between good and evil. That was his job as king. And he wanted to be equipped to fulfill his duty. I want you to look how God responds to Solomon in 1 Kings 3:11 and 12. Thank you, Kathy. Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise afterward. So Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And then God gives him, if you read on further, God gives him those things that he didn't ask for, the riches, the honor. Just because he's a good papa and he can do that. He gives good gifts to his children. Solomon knew he needed wisdom. He needed wisdom to rule his kingdom. And fathers, you need godly wisdom to rule in your families. You need godly wisdom. Kathy, could you go to James 1:5? It says that if anyone lacks wisdom, what should he do? Ask God. Ask God. He'll give it. Ask God. Ask God who gives generously. He gives to all liberally, generously. That's another characteristic of a godly father. Gives liberally, generously. I have a generous father sitting back there. Debbie and I are blessed, aren't we, Deb? We're blessed. Our father is so generous to us. He's a good papa. Kathy, could you go to the next scripture, Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Where does it come from? From the Lord, from God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It comes from God, folks. Our focus has got to be on him. For every one of us, whether you're a mother or a father or none of those yet. Kathy, could you go to Proverbs 1:5? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So if a father is wise, he will hear what God has to say. He'll seek God, and he will increase in his learning. Kathy, could you go to verse 7? This says, the fear, now we're not talking about being afraid of God. We're talking about reverencing and honoring God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But fools despise knowledge, wisdom, instruction. Fools despise that. So reverencing God and honoring him and his word is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom and godly instruction. God's good to us. He tells us in his word. You know, in our society today, I've seen a breakdown. I believe because God is not honored and his word is not reverenced. The Bible was taken out in the early 1960s. Prayer was expelled from school. And I may have mentioned before, before the Bible and prayers were removed from school, these are the things that the teachers back then, these were the discipline problems that they had. Talking, chewing gum, running in the halls, getting out of place in line, wearing improper clothing, not putting paper in the wastebasket. Yeah, today the teachers are concerned with quite different things. School shootings, assault and battery, teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. They're concerned with drug abuse and teen suicide. The one thing that America hasn't learned from our schools is that the rejection of Scripture is lethal to our society. It is lethal. I believe that our youth want to know the truth. But there's so much out there, you know, vying for their attention. Television, Facebook, fake news. And if they don't have a strong core established, you know, on God's truths, they'll be at a disadvantage to try to discern the lies. They need to know what the truth is to be able to do that. So knowledge and wisdom come from God. They don't come from Facebook. They don't come from CNN. They don't come from NSN, or whatever, MSN, NBC, ABC, all those different, all those C's. It comes from Christ. Recently, Gary and I were in upstate New York to get a few days of R&R. And as we were traveling on the interstate. And we had to take a few breaks. To stretch our legs and to, you know, visit the bathroom. And the one place that we stopped, I was waiting inside the rest stop for Gary. And, you know, in those rest stops, they've got coffee and they got newspapers and they got all kinds of stuff. They got food, McDonald's, all kinds of stuff. And so I'm waiting out there, and there happened to be like this, like a little convenience kind of section there. And I'm waiting, and you know, just waiting for Gary. And there was a little black iron stand, and had four shelves on it. And on those shelves, there were four newspapers. Now, I don't read a lot of newspapers. I just choose not to, and I don't have time. I want to read the truth. You know, I want the facts. But anyway, so I'm looking at these newspapers, and there was one that really, you know, I'm just reading the headlines, okay? I'm not reading the newspaper. I'm just catching the headlines. What's going on, you know, because I haven't been really, you know, all that plugged into the papers. As I got closer, I saw this headline on this newspaper and this subline, and I instantly discerned something's wrong here. Something is wrong with this. It's very misleading, in very poor taste, but I had to pick it up. Out of disbelief, that anyone would print something like this. And this was going on while we were up in New York, so I don't know if you guys had it. But this was, it's a paper from New York, okay? And this happened right after, this was happening right after President Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem. Do you remember that's going back, this was May, this is dated May 15th. I don't know if we had this paper around here. I don't know. I don't do papers. But this just happened to be in front of me. And you know what? This happened to be the last one of this one sitting there on the stand, which indicates to me that some people were, you know, buying it to read it. I bought it not to read it, but I wanted it for evidence to show this kind of stuff is out there. Daddy's Little Ghoul. Okay, underneath it says 55 slaughtered in Gaza. But Ivanka all smiles at Jerusalem embassy unveil. What kind of, what? I mean, I don't have to even read the article, but what is that saying?
The devil.
Woo! It's saying something that's not true. It's portraying her as being the fault of those, the protest murders that took place. Like she's at fault for that and that she's real happy about it. Like, come on. So anyway, this was there. You know, the Israelites have considered Jerusalem to be their capital for quite a long period of time. And our Congress voted to move our embassy to their capital. When we put an embassy in a nation, we put it in their capital. And that was voted on back in 1995. We've had past American presidents say that they were going to move the embassy to the Capitol. None of them did except President Trump.
Amen.
When that embassy finally was moved, you probably saw in the news or you read about it, there was a lot of rioting going on. A lot of rioting. From the members of the Islamic group Hamas, okay? They didn't like the idea, and they protested violently, which caused at least, according to this, at least 55 people were killed, with the majority of those people being members of the Hamas, the protesters themselves. They were the ones. And so this picture portrays Ivanka as it's giving a wrong, a bad title, Daddy's Little Ghoul, and suggesting that she was behind and in favor of those killings. The Hamas protesters made a bad choice. They made a wrong choice. You know what? We need to be able to say, what's a sin? Sin is sin. What is evil? Evil is evil. What is good? We need to be able to speak that. These people were killed. That was because of their own, that was the consequence of their poor choices, their poor decisions. They were stopped because of their evil actions. You know, the Bible says there are consequences for wrong choices. We shouldn't be surprised. You know, Hamas hates us. They hate us. They don't love us. They murder. They rape innocent people. They're not for us. There was a school in New York that gave a moment of silence for the Hamas victims. Who became victims because of their own wrong choice. You know, Jesus does tell us that we should pray. We're to pray for our enemies, you know. But he also tells us to resist evil, shun evil, use wisdom, know the difference between evil and good. We live in a time, folks, today, where evil is called good and good is called evil. The Bible refers to that as the end times. Now more than ever, we need godly fathers to instruct their children. What's good We need our kids anchored in God so that they don't get swayed by things that they might read that are wrong, false, lies. God's word has to be the filter that we look through for everything in our life. God's word. How we live, how we think, how we act, it's got to go through God's filter. You know, hey, when we have college kids that are polled and they're asked, who would you rather date? A Trump supporter or a convicted felon? And the majority of them say the convicted felon. There's something wrong with that, guys. There's something wrong with that. You want to date a convicted felon? They rape. They murder. They're locked up for a reason. Let's call sin a sin. Let's call evil evil. And let's call good good. Amen. Yes, yes, we're to pray for them in love. Date them? No! We don't date them. Now more than ever, we need godly discernment. Our children need godly discernment. And our kids need you, fathers. They need you, fathers. You have a wonderful opportunity and a responsibility to influence their minds for God and to give them that solid anchor that they need. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. It's a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to be sold out to God, guys. Kathy, could you go to our next scripture? Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Godly wisdom and instruction will be a blessing on our lives, a blessing. Wear them as an ornament on your head. Write His word on your heart. His word, it's His word. Fathers need the wisdom of God to teach and train their children, and children need to hear the instructions of their fathers. One of the greatest godly fathers of our time went home recently to be with the Lord. Billy Graham went to sleep in his home in North Carolina one night, and he woke up the next morning, February 21st, in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Our daughter recently traveled down to North Carolina, and she visited the library there and his burial place. At Billy Graham's celebration of life, his children had a lot of wonderful things to share about their father. So I want to just give you a couple of these. Ned Graham described this about his father as being faithful, available, and teachable. Those are all excellent qualities of a godly father. His daughter Ruth said this about her father. My father is not God, but he showed me what God is like. Fathers, you represent the Father in heaven to your family. And Ruth went on to say, when we come to God with our sin and brokenness, our failure, our pain, and our hurt, God says, welcome home. Powerful. Ah. Billy Graham was the greatest evangelist that I know of. He's a picture of God. And he preached to hundreds of millions of people. He visited 185 countries and territories. He was a counselor to every president since Harry Truman. He was listed on the Gallup polls list as the most admired men 61 times. He was a godly man and a godly father. And he was loved. He was respected. He was adored by his kids. And he gave them their time. He was godly. Roots to Scripture reminds me of something in Scripture, if you would go with me. I want to go to Luke 15. I'm watching my time, guys. Luke 15. Jesus is sharing a parable here, the parable of the lost son. I'm going to read it quickly. Verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, he says, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his inheritance with prodigal, sinful living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his right mind, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry." Kathy, could you bring up that Luke 15:20? This is the prodigal son. He rose up and he came to his father, but this is the characteristic of a godly father. Let's look at it right here. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. He runs and falls and kisses his neck and gets him dressed and kills that fatted calf and throws a party. He's happy. That parable reveals the heart of our Heavenly Father and how he looks towards repentance and wants to restore, how he has compassion for his children. Kathy, could you also bring up Psalm 103:13? "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." In this parable that we just read, the father showed love, compassion, forgiveness, grace to his son. Those are qualities of an awesome, godly father. Why didn't the father discipline the boy, the young man, when he got home? Why didn't he discipline? Anyone have a guess?
I think because he already got it.
He already got it. That's exactly right. Discipline is to create like a sorrow, a sorrow for the sin that we've committed, and to get us to change our behavior, Okay? So he didn't have to discipline. We talked about discipline being, you know, necessary, but he didn't have to because he was already disciplined. He already repented. So God had already had done that. The man was repentant. And what that man needed, what that young man needed at that time, he needed to know that his father loved him anyway for all the yuck that he did. He needed to know that his father would have compassion on him and receive him back. He needed to know that his father loved him. He needed to know that he was forgiven from his father. God wants fathers to have love and compassion like that for their children, just as he does for us. Just as we need to know that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally, your children, fathers, need to know that you love them unconditionally. Fathers love their children, and the best role model, again, for fathers, for any dad, is Heavenly Father. And I want to end up with this scripture, John 3:16. Barry, you brought it up earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We said God's kind of love is generous. He gave his only Son because he loved us so much. He's a generous papa. And that scripture says that his love is eternal. Everlasting. That's God's kind of love. So is an earthly father's love for their child as well. So these are some of the qualities that we looked at today. Some examples in Scripture. A godly father loves and seeks God first. He loves his family. He provides for his family, not only physically, but spiritually. He protects them. He seeks wisdom from God and from his word. He spends time with God in his presence. A godly father teaches his children about God and his word. He spends time with his children. He has fun with his children. He teaches, he instructs, he encourages them. He spends quality time with them. He disciplines his children because he loves them. He has compassion for his children. He gives grace. He gives forgiveness to them. He gives generously to his children. And he loves them with an everlasting love like our Heavenly Father. Those are amazing qualities, guys. I pray that you would let them motivate you to be the best fathers that you can be. Follow in our Father's footsteps. That's for your own biological children. Or if you happen to be a spiritual father to someone who is not your child, those qualities are critical. If you're a father and you feel like, whoa, I don't measure up in all those areas of that, you know what? It's okay. Just go to God. Just go to Jesus. Repent. He'll forgive you. You know, I remember when we were doing the Mother's Day series, we were reading about all the characteristics of the Proverbs 31, for the Proverbs 31 women. Remember that? I said, hey, you know what? Your mother may not display all of those qualities. You know what, guys? Your father may not display all those qualities yet. You know what? We're all a work in progress. We're all coming up higher. So forgive them. Forgive them. You know, if you're a child of the Father, you are not lacking anything. He gave his Son for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. We lack nothing. Ah, this stuff is so good. All right. Could I ask all the fathers to stand, please? All the fathers. If you are a biological child, and also, if you are a spiritual father, or you have been a spiritual father to others, would you stand? Ladies, would you join me? Awesome, mighty men of God. Keep standing. Awesome, awesome. Father, we thank you for these mighty men of God. We thank you that they seek you first. They love you. They trust you. Father, I thank you for your wisdom that you impart to each one, Lord, as they seek you. Father, thank you for your godly wisdom, your godly instruction for each one as they desire to come up higher, to be the best fathers or spiritual fathers that they can be. You guys are awesome. Now, I need two little boys. I'll take you two, honey. All these men that are standing, could you please give one of these to each one? Each one gets one, okay? Could you pass them out? Everyone who's saying, when you receive, you can sit down. We decided, a coffee at Dunkin' is really good. A donut? Sure, go for it. Oh. Okay. Make sure everyone gets one, guys. Everybody. Yes. When you receive it, you can have a seat. Thank you. Any leftover? Thank you very much. We'll use those for prizes. Ralph. Yep. Anyone else? Even? Okay. Awesome. Gary got one. Okay. All right. Is that left over? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We got them. Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay. So that is the end of my presentation for Father's Day. However, could we have a microphone, honey? Is there anyone here who would like to stand up and briefly, because we're nearing our time here, briefly share about their own sentiments about their godly father? Anyone? Anyone want to say anything about their father? Yep, Seth. I've got a microphone over there. Thank you.
Hi again. So everybody knows my dad. He's not here today. But really quickly, if I could just describe my dad in three words, he's my hero. If I could.
Woo!
If I could.
Yes!
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Ralph? Yeah. Don't be listening to this.
His name actually means hero, doesn't it? It means something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, but he actually is my hero. Just how selfless he is, and how he's such a good example for me. Just for how God really is. I don't really know another man who's like him, and for me anyway. And so I'm really fortunate and really happy that I have a father like that in my life.
Awesome. So. Thank
you. I love you, Dad.
Good job, Ralph. Okay. Oh, Eli, too. Okay.
Yeah, hi. I would like to thank my dad so much for being the person that he is, because through all the bad times and the good times, he's always been there, you know, to back me up. I'm very blessed to have him as a father. I am very... I just can't believe how much that this family, all we have gone through. And he's just Superman. He is Superman. He really is.
He is.
You know? Yeah. I love you, Dad, so much.
Woo! Okay, anyone else? Ditto for me, Dad. okay, go ahead.
I'd like to take time today to talk about my dad and thank him for the many sacrifices he gave. I never forget that I wanted to learn music, and I was begging him to get this old piano. And my neighbor was a musician, and the father died, and they were selling the estate, and this woman's piano was there. So he said, "I don't know, son. I really don't know, but I'll go to the auction. Maybe we can get it." And it was amazing. I mean, my dad was bidding on it, and I was checking him out. And he had the bid. I mean, it was right down to the last dollar. But we got that old piano, and I took lessons for like 12 years. And so today, Dad, I just want to thank you. He's not here anymore, but I got to thank him for the many sacrifices that he blessed me with. Even though we were very poor, he would always pull it together. And, I mean, he was a blessing. So I got to thank him.
Awesome.
Thank him today.
Awesome. Yes. Good job, James. Woo! Yeah. Anyone else? Jasper?
My parents were always working. My father was always traveling. So my my mother was always acting as both father and mother. Okay. So I never really knew my father until much older, when he had more time. And then I really learned to appreciate him because he was, even though he was absent, he was always providing for us. Mm-hmm. And he was just a great man. I mean, he had a tender heart, very, very considerate. He's a man of few words, but when he speaks, he has a lot of wisdom and showed his love. And so it was just awesome. I mean, I wouldn't trade my parents for anyone. It's great.
Awesome.
And so, I miss him a lot. So thank you for allowing me to share this.
Awesome. Yo. Any more? Eli? Where? Oh, Nita.
Yeah, my father went to be with the Lord, a couple years ago. But I remember as we were growing up, like small children, anytime there is like a meal which is not plenty, you know, my father will not eat unless all of us ate first.
Oh, wow.
And anytime a child had a fever, my father will not sleep all night. He will make rounds and take the temperature of all of us. And he had to spend money like to go to the hospital, you know, like pay for taxi. And then and he will not hesitate any time to take the child, you know, whoever has the fever or something. Okay. And later on, he was a very tender-hearted person. And later on, he went to be with the Lord. And he was very compassionate person, very loving, very kind. And just recently, a friend of his from the village was telling us that they used to have a farm, like he and others, and they used to get together like almost every night to discuss the business and so on. Mm-hmm. Then everybody will go to their home. And nobody realized until later on that even in the winter time, my father will not go to our house, to his house, to sleep until he goes and check all the people in the village and to see that they are okay.
Wow.
And that they are, you know, taken care of.
Wow.
Then he will go and sleep. That's I learned lately about him.
Awesome.
So I'm so grateful that, you know.
Yo. Whoa. Awesome man of God. Any more? Anyone else? Eli would like to, Barry. Okay.
Come up here, buddy.
Okay. That's 1, 2, 3. Okay. Sorry. So, I thank you to my dad. He's Auper. He got... when I was 4 years old, I was going to old school before, and my dad was praying on me. I told you, this, my God, pray on me in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Awesome. Oh, so cute. Out of the mouth of babes. Well, you know, I was just jotting some of the characteristics down that you all were sharing when you were talking about your fathers. This is what I got. Hero. Super dad. Sacrificial. Hard worker. Good provider. Great man. Tender-hearted. Lot of wisdom. Again, sacrificial. Tender-hearted. Compassionate. Loving. Kind. Praise for me. Awesome, awesome. We have another one? Yeah, come on, let's add it to the list.
Jesus loves me all day.
Yo! Awesome! Yes, he does, honey. Yeah. All right. Okay. I think that says it all, guys. That says it all. All right. Well, you know what? Because it's Father's Day, we do have, Pat has provided some awesome refreshments. Pat, oh, we got one more? Okay. Oh, another topic. Okay. Do we have a microphone for Nancy?
I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
But my friends were concluding their tour in Israel. Okay. And happened to be in Jerusalem on the day that the embassy was opened.
Oh, awesome. Wow, and what a day to be there.
And people there kept coming up to them all day long, thanking them. And they said, but we didn't have anything to do with it. We're just Americans. Apparently, that's all that counted.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Nancy. That's awesome. Oh, yeah, God is good. God is good. So we have some refreshments back there. We'd love to all have you all stick around for a little bit. But today is Father's Day. So spend, you know, if you have a special man in your life that you want to spend it with, please give them that time of day. I keep losing this thing. So I'm just going to close this in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the fathers that you have given us. Lord, thank you for being an awesome role model for our fathers to follow. Lord, we thank you for revealing all these characteristics to us in the Bible that fathers can use to become stronger men of God as fathers. Lord, we thank you that your word is very clear, very, very descriptive, Father. We thank you. It's like a manual to follow. Thank you for making it simple for us to know what you would have our fathers do. Lord, we thank you for each of these godly men. I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for each godly man that has influenced any one of our lives. We've all been influenced. They're there. God puts them in our path. It may not have been your earthly father. It may have been someone else. But Father, we just thank you for guiding each of our lives, Father, by using the men that you've placed in our lives, Lord. We give you honor. We thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing each one of us up higher. Thank you for your word, Lord. You are awesome. You're an awesome Papa. You are rich. You are generous to all of us. You deserve all of our praise, our honor, our glory today. I'm so thankful that we could open up and worship and just sing about you from our hearts, Lord. You are the greatest Papa, greatest role model for every one of us. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for loving us so much.